So let's get started for the next talk. We have Ümit, that's how you pronounce it, sorry, talking about HPC, how to set up HPC on OpenStack. Yeah, let's give him an applause.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Again, my name is Ümit Seren, and I'm an HPC systems engineer at the Vienna Biocenter campus, which is also home for four life science institutes. In the next 20 minutes, I want to tell you the story of how we deployed our new 200 nodes LERM cluster on top of OpenStack. But before I start, maybe a show of hands. How many people here are currently running an HPC system? That's probably half. And how many people have experience or have run an OpenStack instance running? That's even more surprising. Okay, let's get started. Anyone remembers the great talk by Damien Francois from last year's FOSDEM about the Cloudster? If you weren't at that talk, the Cloudster is a hypothetical system of heterogeneous hardware that not only allows you traditional HPC workloads, but also new workloads around big data and stateful applications. And when we embarked on our journey to deploy our HPC system on OpenStack, we had something along these lines in mind, a system that would not only allow traditional workloads, batch scheduling workloads, but also new use cases. So meet the cloud infrastructure project, or short CLIP, that was started to implement this idea. So the idea was not only to consolidate the various compute clusters we had on campus and replace it with a new HPC system, but realize the idea of a software-defined data center strategy that would allow a system like Cloudster. We chose OpenStack Cloud Framework to implement this idea, and a team of four full-time engineers was formed and tasked to deliver this project in multiple phases. And we set three milestones. The first milestone would be to implement a traditionally batch scheduling system on top of OpenStack. Once this is done, we would implement new interactive applications such as JupyterHub and RStudio. And finally, we would extend the use of OpenStack to all kinds of long-running stateful applications such as databases and web services. So on a high level, this is what we were aiming at. So at the bottom, you have a pool of heterogeneous compute nodes. And on top of that, we would install the OpenStack cloud. And with that cloud framework, we would provision different flavored VMs, and those would host our different services ranging all the way from a classical batch scheduling system like Slurm, but also Spark, JupyterHub, and RStudio. And the idea would be that the cloud framework would allow us to dynamically resize those services on top and reconfigure the whole system. So let's briefly also talk about the hardware. Like it was proposed in Cloudster, we have quite heterogeneous hardware. So we have around 200 compute nodes that are split in four types, or they are of four types. Type one compute nodes are split in two subtypes. So 20% of those are high frequency, low core count Skylakes, and the remaining 80% are basically high core, low frequency Skylakes again. Type two compute nodes are large memory nodes. We have one 4 terabyte machine and three 1.5 terabyte machines. We have 12 I/O nodes with NVMe flash storage for around 250 terabytes of BGFS scratch storage. And then we have 6 GPU nodes with a mix of T100 and V100. And all these nodes are connected to an existing software-defined fabric from Cisco with 100G Ethernet. And additionally, we have existing data center infrastructure such as network attached storage of around 10 petabytes. As I mentioned before, we delivered this project in multiple phases. The project started at the end of 2017 with a small proof of concept to understand OpenStack. This lasted 2 months and on a pretty small scale. So this was one undercloud, three controllers, and two refurbished hypervisors. This was followed by a deep analysis of OpenStack to understand the impact on the HPC workload. We developed, we evaluated different deployment methods, developed tooling, looked at tooling around it, also developed patterns around operations, and did extensive benchmarking. This was supposed to take 8 months. We ended up working on this phase for 12 months, for 1 year. At the end of 2018, the hardware arrived and was installed, and the goal was to deploy the production cloud and the HPC payload on top of that within 4 months. This took us, in the end, 10 months, but in July 2019, our SLURM cluster went into production, and since then we have been working on delivering the next milestone, namely those interactive applications such as Jupyter Hub and RStudio. And if you want to know more about this, just stay in the room because my colleague Erich Brienruber will talk about this right after. So now let's talk briefly about our experience with OpenStack regarding the first deliverable, namely an HPC system. And first I want to talk about how we deploy the cloud and how we operate it. There are a lot of different OpenStack installers out there. Basically, every major OpenStack distribution has its own. We decided to go with Red Hat OpenStack because of two reasons. First of all, we have an existing support contract, so we get vendor support. But more importantly, we wanted to deeply integrate OpenStack with our Cisco software-defined network fabric. And Cisco only provides installer for Canonical and Red Hat. Red Hat OpenStack uses a system called OOO that stands short for OpenStack on OpenStack. And OOO consists of two parts. You have a so-called undercloud, which is a single node installation of OpenStack with some of the services. And using this undercloud, and specifically we use Ironic for bare metal provisioning and Heat, the orchestration engine, we deploy our overcloud. This is the actual cloud that will run our HPC payload eventually. This approach has a couple of benefits. For us, the biggest benefit was that we as sysadmins only have to learn one set of APIs to both deploy the cloud and as well as later on the payload on top of it. So for example, we use the image service glance. People who are familiar with OpenStack know this. This is used to store OS images or VM images. We use the glance image service in the undercloud to store the OS images for the hypervisors and the controllers in the overcloud. And then we also use the glance image in the overcloud to store the VM images for our SLURM payload. And OOO supports two ways to install the cloud. One is through a web UI, and the other one is through CLI using YAML files. Because we were new to OOO, we decided to have a look at the UI. It looks pretty nice, and you can configure the network and storage, and then you can just kick it off, and eventually you end up with a working cloud. However, this approach didn't work for us because we have three OpenStack environments with identical hardware to test different configurations. And obviously clicking three times through the UI is not scalable, doesn't allow for fast iterations, and also isn't reproducible. So we decided just, okay, we scrap the web UI and just do everything from the CLI. And OOO, as I mentioned before, uses a bunch of OpenStack services, but most importantly it uses the Ironic and Heat to deploy the bare metal nodes in the overcloud. And once the bare metal nodes are deployed, a Puppet agent will run on all the compute nodes and controller nodes, and that in turn runs Ansible to configure the services and install the node. You heard right, that's quite convoluted, and this is also pretty complex. We also had to decide for a config management tool because we needed to configure other data center resources such as storage and network that is outside of OOO. And we decided to go with Ansible because that was the easiest one for us to use. Our deployment is done in three steps. So we have a set of playbooks that run on a Bastion VM that will deploy and install the undercloud in the three environments. So basically three underclouds in each of those, one undercloud in each of those three environments. Once this is done, we have another set of playbooks that we will do some pre-validation and then feed the customized YAML files for the cloud configuration into the OOO installer, drive the OOO installer, and deploy the overcloud and do some post-deployment validation. And then we have a third set of playbook that will do post-deployment customizations, such as uploading VM images that we need later for the payload and pre-creating network constructs. And we can use the same set of playbooks that are, by the way, stored in two Git repos to scale up and down our cloud or to reconfigure it. So this approach works pretty well, but there are a couple of pitfalls and downsides you should be aware of. OOO is very slow because it runs Heat, runs Puppet, and then Ansible. So if you want to change a single configuration in one of the services and need to restart the service, this will take on our production deployment 60 minutes. So obviously this is pretty painful, especially in the beginning when you haven't really settled on the final configuration of your cloud and you're iterating quickly. So we thought, okay, let's just use Triple O to get some working cloud running and then use Ansible to modify or to find the final set of configurations. But this also doesn't work because when you do a stack update and you need to do a stack update when you scale up or down, Puppet, the Puppet agent, will overwrite all your Ansible modified files and some services can be down, which is actually not acceptable. So we decided to compromise. We decided, okay, let's in the beginning, let's use Ansible to find the final set of configurations. And once we settled on those, on this final set of configuration, we would bring them back into the Triple O framework and use the Triple O exposed configuration stances. For everything else, we continue to use Ansible. So we have a playbook to set up to talk to the Cisco SDN controller and set up the network configuration for the free OpenStack environments. And the nice benefit is we also have a playbook that can move a node from one environment to another and back. So let's change gears and talk a bit also about operations. As I mentioned, we have three OpenStack environments, and we have all the configuration for the cloud in YAML in Git. This allows us to for reproducible deployments, which is pretty nice. But what about software packages? How can we ensure that the deployment of software packages is also reproducible? Red Hat releases on a regular basis updates to OS packages, but also to the OpenStack services and packages. We decided to use Red Hat Satellite, the upstream project is called Foreman, to create free lifecycle environments that correspond to our free OpenStack environments. And then we create content views. These are basically sets of RPM repos and create also versions for those content views. That's basically freezing the versions of the packages at a certain time point. And then we can publish these versions and roll them out in those free lifecycle environments. This way we can test, for example, new OpenStack packages in the dev environment and then roll them out in staging and production. As any other software, OpenStack has its fair share of bugs, and for some of those, we came up with workarounds. For some, we created tickets with Red Hat, and others were fixed in upstream, newer upstream versions of either OpenStack or some of the packages. To keep track of all of this, we created Jira board. So when we encounter a bug, we triage it, we document it, but most importantly, we put it in this Jira board. We call it Clip Release Engineering. And when we update OpenStack or one of the packages, we can come back to this Jira board, look at the tickets, and maybe unroll the workarounds for some of the bugs that were fixed in the version that we deployed. So some concluding remarks about the deployment and operations. OpenStack and Triple O are pretty complex. So the only thing I want you to take out of this talk is that you really need a dev environment to test upgrades. And also, I would recommend to have some package management. Upgrades can break your cloud in different ways. For example, for us, going from a non-containerized control plane to a containerized was the biggest pain point. Sometimes you also need to customize the upstream containers, and having a container build pipeline in Jenkins is obviously very helpful. Triple O is also a well-supported installer for a common cloud deployment. If you have some exotic configuration, it's a bit challenging within this rigid Triple O framework. I didn't talk about the next point, but obviously having monitoring and continuous regression testing and performance testing is very important. And finally, infra as code in Git is the way to go, but it requires really good developer discipline. So you need to do PRs and also release engineering. So now we have our cloud. How do we deploy our HPC system on top of that? We deploy our HPC or our Slurm cluster in a two-step process. We use the OpenStack heat orchestration engine in the overcloud to provision a bunch of VMs and generate an Ansible inventory. And then we have an Ansible playbook that will install and configure the Slurm cluster using either self-developed Ansible roles, but we also heavily rely on Stack HPC's very good Ansible roles. And we can use the same set of playbooks to scale up and down our Slurm cluster, or actually reconfigure the Slurm cluster. We use satellites, so we register the VMs in satellites for package management. And because we have three environments, dev, staging, and production, we can test both different configurations of our Slurm cluster and also newer package versions in dev. And if they work out, we can just roll them out in production. And this whole approach can be used for other complex systems. So we can use it to provision a Spark cluster, Kates cluster. We also use it for BGFS. So let's also briefly talk about performance. We deploy a virtualized Slurm cluster. In order to get good performance, we need to apply a couple of tunings. And this is a non-exhaustive list of the tunings we apply. The most important thing is that every tuning comes with a caveat or downside. So for example, with NUMA clean instances, you lose the ability to do live migrations, and you cannot easily mix different VM flavors on the same hypervisor. This is not a big issue for the Slurm cluster, but you should still be aware of it. We use static huge pages, but make sure that you leave enough memory for the host, because otherwise you won't be able to update your cloud, because the Puppet agent on the node will be killed by the ORM if there's not enough memory. ISIL CPUs also helps with performance, but requires you to use SRV for good network performance. And finally, for GPUs and NVMe flash drives, you need to use PCI pass-through. And in general, for network performance, SRV is the way to go. But keep in mind that those tunings have a smaller feature set compared to their fully virtualized counterparts. So with all these tunings, you can basically achieve bare metal performance. And I don't want to bore you with plenty of charts. I only want to show you one. So these are, here you can see different bioinfo workloads running in parallel on a node. Here on the left side, you can see basically if they run on a bare metal node without any isolation, and this is the standard deviation for the execution time, basically the jitter, and you can see that there's a lot of jitter, obviously because the two workloads affect each other. Spin up two optimized VMs on a hypervisor along the NUMA boundaries and run the workloads in those VMs, they are well isolated and jitters reduce considerably. To be fair, Slurm on a bare metal node using C groups does a fairly well job to do the same. So some important issues and pitfalls lessons that we learned regarding the deployment of our HPC payload on top of OpenStack. So Ansible is slow. If we run our Slurm playbook the second time, basically, no modification, end-to-end, this takes on the production instance an hour. So make sure to tag reoccurrent day-to-day operations like mounting new volumes or changing costs with Ansible tags so you can just run those tasks. And also you can use fat images to reduce the install time for the VMs. Satellite is great for package management, but make sure to remove the upstream CentOS images after you provision your VMs, because otherwise all the versioning is for nothing. And also some issues you will only hit under scale. So we tested our deployment on a small scale. Everything worked out. We decided to do the production deployment. And then we ran into a nasty Cisco SDN bug that basically forced us to scale in batches after 70 nodes. So be aware of those things that they can happen. Having isolated environments is pretty great, but this ends at shared infra components, especially if it's tightly integrated with OpenStack. So what do I mean with this? We once deployed the dev environment, and we triggered a race condition in the Cisco SDN controller that basically caused an outage in the entire data center. And finally, also beware of unintended consequences of code changes. So once we wanted to scale up our Slurm cluster, and we accidentally triggered a redeploy of the entire cluster, because months ago we changed one line in the heat configuration, and heat sometimes will reprovision the VMs. And then we ran actually in the scaling issue, so the downtime was much, much longer than we planned for. I think I'm probably out of time. I will leave this, I will end the presentation on this last slide where I show you the bad, ugly, and the good parts, and I will answer any questions you have.
All right, questions?
I have two questions.
Okay.
First is what test you do before going to test to, from test to pros? Do you use Rally or do you use something like Rally or something else? And the second question, how you move one node from one environment to a different environment?
So to the first question, for testing, we test both. So we have testing for the cloud where we use Tempest and Rally for performance. But to be aware that the Rally or Tempest test that basically tests your cloud's functionality can leave some stray projects behind, right? And currently we are not running them. We so far manually test. The payload itself, we test the Ansible roles using Molecule, and then we are planning to use, for example, Reframe to do some integration testing of also software packages. The second question was about, yes. So the nice thing, if you have a Cisco software-defined network, basically it's like going to the switch and replugging the node, and you just do this through the Cisco SDN has a REST endpoint, and you can talk to the REST endpoint and just basically plug a compute node with the provisioning NIC and the HSN, which is the high-speed network, from one environment, from the dev environment, for example, to the production environment, and then you just reprovision the bare metal node. That's how we do it. And that's pretty useful because we have different nodes and we can test, for example, new configuration firmware updates in dev and then move them back to production.
Are you planning to replace Ansible with anything faster? Because like 1 hour, it is really a lot.
Yes. Well, we haven't really investigated if we can use something which is faster. We will probably have to spend a bit of time to optimize the playbook, like with getter facts and maybe. I mean, one aspect why this is specifically very long is that we mount, I think, 50 volumes. This is due to some how we have the storage in the two institutes. We are unifying also the storage system. There will be only one mount point. So just mounting all the 50 volumes on all the 200 compute nodes, even if you do this in parallel, takes half an hour. So there are a couple of things we will do to cut down on the runtime for Ansible. But if anyone has a good suggestion for an alternative, which is agentless, we would be happy to hear about this.
What share of your Ansible playbooks and roles did you have to write yourself? And what could you reuse from the existing repositories?
So we could use, for example, the entire Slurm role. We took the Slurm role. I think Stack HPC has a couple of roles with which they deploy different HPC clusters. And we use the Slurm role from them a bit modified. For example, we have three partitions and we have three costs. And we need to set limits. And Slurm only accepts like absolute values for core limits. And we wanted to specify this in percentages. And so we modified this to calculate based on the number of cores, how many, so to calculate the absolute value. So these were a couple of modifications. Some of the small roles like SSSD and other stuff we developed on our own or used something and went from there, basically.
Any more questions? All right, then let's thank the speaker.